Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We are located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're so glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is truly a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, The Power of Self-Control, Empowered to Say No.
There's a word from the Lord this day. At the beginning of this year, we declared this year to be the year of spiritual empowerment. And in that theme, one of the scripture references was Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, joy. The last two, faithfulness. And the last one, fruit number 9, self-control. We're going to revisit fruit number 8 next week with gentleness. But fruit number 9 this morning, self-control. If there's any time that we need self-control, we need it now. Amen. Anytime the world needs self-control, we need it now. I looked with a broken heart at the story of the head coach of the Michigan football team, and it broke my heart. 39-year-old African-American coach, coaching one of the greatest universities in this country, and he lost it all because he could not exercise self-control. Look at somebody and say, keep it together. Keep it together, amen. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the NIV translation. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no. Try that again. I want you to help me with this one word. It teaches us to say
no.
I like how that sounds. To ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Those of you who love God's word, help me say amen.
Amen.
Amen. For the next few moments, I want to speak to you from the subject, empowered to say no. Empowered to say no. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, sometimes you just got to say no. Clap those hands and take your seats. Empowered to say no. No. It sounds a lot easier than it is. And folk would often tell you, why did you do this? Why didn't you just say no? It's easier when you're giving somebody else advice. But it's a lot harder when it involves your own life. Can I just keep it real? For we are living in a time, we are living in a world in which it seems as if we are constantly being asked, being encouraged, and in some cases being rewarded for saying yes, particularly to our desires, yes to our impulses. And yes to whatever makes us feel good for the moment. Advertisement we see The things that we are marketed to are aimed at driving us to buy stuff, to get stuff, to do stuff. It urges you, even subliminally, it urges you to say yes. And in our minds and in our carnal spirits, there is a desire to do whatever makes you feel good, whatever the flesh desires for you to do. We talked about it last week in Romans chapter 7 when the Apostle Paul admitted that he personally struggled with this. He says, because I found myself doing what I did not want to do. Found myself doing the wrong that I did not want to do. Paul concluded that if I am doing what I don't want to do, then it is no more me, but it is the sin in me controlling me. So when we say the power to say no, and I want you to get this straight, because I know some of you perhaps jump to people need to say no. See, here's what I've discovered, that we don't usually have a problem saying no to others. Problem is saying no to ourselves. That's where we struggle. But some of you are bold enough and some of you are strong enough to look at other folk and say, get out of my face. No, not going to do that. But where we struggle is when ourselves struggle and battle with our own selves, trying to convince us to do something that is not beneficial to our whole selves. That's where it becomes difficult to say no. What if the coach of Michigan just would have walked away? What if he never would have started that relationship? One of the brightest young stars in all of college athletics, at 39 years old, sitting at the top of the mountain. But now I pray for him and his family, because he's lost it all. Can I tell you something? It may be a struggle to get up the mountain, but it takes no time to fall down. Look at somebody and say, beware. We as people of faith, we need to understand the importance and understand that true strength is not in always saying yes to our impulses and our desires. But true strength is having the courage to say no, and particularly when we know it is the right thing to do. We know we shouldn't do this, but we struggle to say no to it. Know we shouldn't be here, but we struggle to break ourselves away. Can I preach to some real folk? Young people, I want you to hold on. I'm going to give you a godly example that's found in Scripture. For it really takes a special kind of strength. It takes a special kind of power to say no when it seems as if everyone around you is saying yes. It takes a special kind of strength to go the opposite direction of where your friends are going. It takes a special kind of power to take the path less traveled. And I'm here to tell you that that power cannot be gained from reading another self-help book. But it has to be down on my knees. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. That's why we've been talking about it. And on the last day of this year, before the Watch Night service, thank you, Andrea and others. Thank you for the idea that we're going to come together. And anybody that wants to pray that God give me that spirit, give me that power. Because I can talk about it. I can hear it in church, but it's a hard thing to do. Can we just be real about it? And God says, I will empower you with all of these fruit of the Spirit, but in order to have all of these in your life, you need the Holy Spirit. Look at your neighbor, say, you need some Holy Ghost power. Not Dominion Energy power, not Duke Energy, not Tri-County power, not any other. You need some Holy Ghost power. You need to have the power connected to the power source that when you flip the switch, the lights come on. Amen, somebody. You need that kind of power. I'm here to tell you that if you don't have it, shout all you want. Preach all you want. Be as profound as you want. But the enemy does not respect your praise without your power. What the enemy respects is praise and power. Because praise without power is just theatrics. He doesn't worry about theatrics, but when you connect the power source, then you can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. How many of you know you can do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you can ask or imagine with the power in? Oh, help me tell somebody, neighbor, you need the power. You got the look, you got the swag, you got all of that, but you need the power. Why don't you back up your talk with power? Back up your praise with power. Put some praise behind your power. And if you never dance, at least you live right. I'd rather you never dance or shout, but just sit in church and be as quiet as you want, but treat folk right, live right, talk right. Oh, a whole lot of folk that make the most noise don't always live the best life. Oh, can I preach? Don't get sidetracked by the theatrics. Ooh, don't get sidetracked by the bling and the facade. But watch how you live. Ooh, it takes power to be gentle. It takes power to have godly patience. It takes power to have love, joy, patience, kindness, and goodness. It takes Holy Ghost power, because everything in you pushes against the other way. And it especially takes power to have self-control. Self-control, I submit to you today that although it's number 9 in the fruit of the Spirit, it is perhaps the most difficult and challenging of them all. Ooh, because there are a whole lot of folk can do a whole lot of things, but you lose it because you don't have control. Where would some people be now if they had the strength to speak back to the demons in their life and say, get behind me, Satan? Jesus had the strength to tell Satan, get me. I know I'm hungry. I haven't eaten in 40 days. I've been on a fast in the wilderness. What Jesus could say, but I am not willing to yield to your temptation. Oh, I just don't fool me. But is there anybody in here so glad that God gave you the power to speak back to your adversary? Somebody help me think of where you would be today if you had not had the strength to speak back to your adversary and say, get behind me, Satan. A special kind of strength, a special kind of power. Look at the text, if you will. In this incredible New Testament epistle, Paul writes this to a group of first century believers who lived in a carnal society. He writes to Titus with the purpose of Titus sharing it with other believers that were around him and in the geographical region and pass it on. It was a good word to be passed on. Titus was not just anyone, but Titus was Paul's son in the gospel. And the Apostle Paul writes this to counter or confront the negative influences that Christians were dealing with. They were living in a very carnal society. The Roman government was as carnal as you can be. Everything went in Rome. They had houses of prostitution, bathhouses. They did all kinds of things. And in fact, they adopted the Epicurean mantra. In case you don't know, Epicurean came up with the slogan, eat, drink, and be merry today, for tomorrow we may die. In other words, the Epicurean doctrine catered to your flesh. It says, live every day to the best of your ability. Oh, I'm going to help you out. Some of us are living the Epicurean doctrine and we don't even know it. I got to do what I've got to do. Today going to be my best day. I don't know if tomorrow is prime. I'm going to do everything I can. I better get all I can get right now. I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. Let me do it right now. Catering to your desires. Catering to your flesh. Paul knew this. He understood this, Dr. Cheryl Washington. He understood this, Pastor Betty Martin. So good to see you. We've been praying for you. May God continue to bless you. So good. So to understand what Paul was doing, he says, I need to help you all out. Because you can't just cater to how you feel. Preach, Pastor Jackson. Who am I preaching to? Some of us would be further along if we didn't cater to how we felt about everything, if we didn't live in our own emotions, if we didn't respond with fleshly responses. So Paul writes this text, and he writes it to Titus with the intent of Titus sharing it with others. This unusual epistle emphasizes, perhaps more than any other Bible in any other book in the Bible, the words self-control. In fact, in one chapter, Titus chapter 2, Paul uses the word self-control four times. Four times he tells them, you need to exercise a level of self-control. Look at the text. Verses 11 and 12. We're going to read that again and then share with you three key homiletical insights taken from this text to help us deal with life as we are faced with it today. Look at what Paul writes. He writes, and I'll quote, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us, oh, I love this, to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live, somebody shout, self-controlled. Self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. In other words, you've got to live it right now. You've got to do it right now. Look at this text. There are three brief highlights that I want to make out of this text, together out of this text. Number one is this. God's grace, somebody say grace, offers salvation to all people. Somebody say all people. Now, why did Paul put this? I kind of wondered with this as I was going through the text. Why would you put this in an area with self-control? And then it hit me. What God wanted us to know through Paul's writing was that no one has an excuse. All of us have an opportunity to be saved by grace. So you can't say, the reason I act like that because you're saved and I'm not. Well, you can get saved. What is stopping you from accepting salvation? Look at what Paul says in the text. He says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people, regardless of who they are, what they may have done, salvation is available. Look at your neighbor, say, no excuses. It is available. Perhaps the most iconic scripture in all of the Bible is John 3:16. The New King James puts it this way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and here is the part I like, that here's the word I like, that whoever, look at your neighbor and say, that's you, your mama, your mama's drunk brother, that's you, your gossiping neighbors, that's everybody else. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting. There is absolutely no excuse. Am I right about it? There is no excuse why you can't accept salvation. God has made it available to you. Everyone has an opportunity to get right with God. Or the old church said, get right with God and do it right now. Tomorrow is not promised. I can't tell you the number of funerals I've been to. Went to one yesterday at the Brookland Baptist Church. Got to go to one Tuesday. It seems like we go to one or two every week, and all of them are not elderly people. Young people die also. So you've got to do it and do it right now. Look at somebody and say, today is your day. Next year is not promised to you. Well, Pastor, I am going to get it right in 2026. You may be the next one rolling down this aisle in 2025. You've got to get right with God right now. God has made salvation available to everybody. Doesn't matter what you've done, who you are. Doesn't matter all of your background, all of your faults and failures. I serve a God who puts it all under the covering of his blood. Ooh, it is of the Lord's mercies. We've not been consumed. Somebody ought to thank God that God has given you another chance. God has given you another chance. Is there anyone in here so grateful that God gave you another chance? This is a good time to put a praise on something. I just take the next 20 seconds and think about how God made a way out of no way with your name on it. Ooh, and tell God thank you for grace. Thank you for your mercy. Here's the second key insight that I want to spend a little time on with a biblical example. The insight said God's grace empowers us to say no to ungodly behavior and destructive worldly passions. Perhaps there is no better example than that which is found in Genesis chapter 29. Dealing with a young man by the name of Joseph. Now, we often talk about Joseph's favor, but we don't talk about his self-control. If you remember last week's message, I began that message by saying that it has been observed that most successful people have this in common, that they exercise self-control. There is no doubt that the Bible tells us Joseph was successful. There are three passages in here that I want to share. Look at verse number 2. It says this, Genesis chapter 39, New King James, or the New Living Translation, I think it is, and verse number 2. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served home of the Egyptian master. So here's what we get. We always get God was with Joseph, but we don't get the why. We get the favor, but look at your neighbor and say, we don't always get the why. We know that God was with him, but we don't always know why. But God was with Joseph for a reason. Why? Because God understood that in Joseph's life, Joseph had some attributes that God appreciated. And one of it was self-control. Drop down to verse number 8. Verse number 8. But here it is. Joseph in the house of Potiphar. First of all, sold into slavery, delivered out of the pit. Now he's in the house of his master in Egypt. And there in the house, God put him over everything in Potiphar's house. I'm going somewhere. Because favor requires self-control. Who am I preaching to? Next time you pray for favor, you ought to ask God, and Lord, help me exercise self. I am convinced, Deacon Abel Simmons, that God doesn't waste his favor on the people that don't know how to control their demons. It requires self-control. Here it is, verse number 8. The wife of his master tempted Joseph to lay with her. Now remember, Joseph wasn't an old man. It wasn't. Some of you, the only reason you don't do it is because you can't do it no more. Did I say that? I don't know who to look at. I just look in the sky. Some of you are so holy because you can't be nothing but holy now. You can't, and you can't find nobody who will with you. So holy is a default. Good to see you, Elder Sarah. So good to see you, baby. But Joseph was young. He was 17 when they sold him into slavery. Now he's probably in his, at the latest, early 20s. So he had the desire, but he had the strength, to push back against his desire. Verse number 8, New Living Translation, first three words in verse number 8, but Joseph refused. That's all you need to see. He had the opportunity, but Joseph said no. Had the chance, but Joseph said no. And don't you think that the enemy does not like it when you say no. Joseph understood. Look at what Joseph said in verse number 9. Because see, we think this was all about he didn't want to offend Potiphar. But verse number 9, particularly the last clause of verse number 9, makes it clear. Joseph said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Look, I love Potiphar, but this ain't about Potiphar. This is about God. When you commit adultery and sin, you ain't just committing that on somebody you love on earth. This is about God. When you let God down, that is the greatest betrayal of trust. Joseph said, how can I do this against God? And you know, sometimes, can I preach this? There are consequences with your favor. When you stand up, I'm not here to tell you that every time you say no, everything is going to get easy and better. Because Joseph refused, he found himself in prison. Upstairs, go with me to verses 20, 22, and 23. He found himself in prison. And he realized that, you know what, I said no, but I end up in prison. But I'm here to let somebody know, favor will follow you everywhere you go. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, favor will follow you everywhere you go. Verse number 20, then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But he did not give up. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, here it is, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, and even in prison. Joseph was in charge of all the prisoners. I just need a handful of folk to encourage some other folk and say, neighbor, if you hold on and do us right, favor will follow you no matter where you go. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, favor keeps making ways out of nowhere. Somebody ought to help me give God your best praise, because favor. Woo. Verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in the prison. Oh, look at favor. Somebody ought to get ready to shout right now. And whatever they did there, it was his doing. It was Joseph's doing. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. Here it is. Because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Who am I preaching to? That's the New Living Translation, y'all. And whatever he did, the Lord caused it to succeed. He made it prosper. He made it all right. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, whatever you do, God will make a way. God knows how to make lemonade out of lemons. God knows how to take something bad and make something good. I just need a handful of praisers that God ever turned your bad situation into something good. You owe God a. When you learn to resist your carnal desires, woo! When you learn to control your fleshly impulses, God will substitute your carnality with favor. Ooh, and you will look around and you will wonder, I didn't know how I got this job. How did I end up in this place? How did I get so blessed? Lord, I didn't know. I didn't even ask for this. And God says, you don't have to ask for it. Because I'm preaching to somebody right now that God says before the year is over, somebody, the favor of God is about to show up in your life and in your house. Help me encourage your neighbor and say, neighbor, get ready, because God is about to show up and show out in your life. When you stand up and you exercise the control that God says you need, God will bless your life. The ability to say no doesn't come from your own strength, but it comes from the power of God. Somebody that know you need the Holy Ghost, tell God, thank you. Somebody that's glad you got the Holy Ghost. I just need a quick demonstration. Somebody who's glad you got the Holy Ghost, just leap to your feet one time, say, Lord, I thank you. Been for the power of the Holy Ghost. Saying no is not a sign of weakness. You're not weak because you say no. It is a sign, as it was with Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. It is a sign of spiritual maturity and spiritual strength. You're stronger when you say no. Don't let your enemies fool you. I don't care what they say about you, but you know you've got the strength to resist the devil And give God your best praise, because God is keeping you. Here's the third and the final insight. Third and the final one, God's grace. Ooh. Somebody say grace. Grace powers us to live self-control and godly lives. I need you to catch this. Self-control is not just about resisting evil. It is also about living righteous and godly lives. Self-control is not just about doing nothing. It's about doing the right things. It is about living godly lives. It is about saying yes to the plans of God for our lives. I am preaching to somebody right now, and I'm hearing God says that I've got plans for you. Question is, I know you can say no to fleshly impulses, but can you say yes to God? Yes to your will. Yes to your life. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. Stand to your feet, everybody across the sanctuary, and I want you to help me preach this to somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God's got a plan with your name on it. Say, neighbor, the question is, will you say yes? You said no to the world, but can you say yes to the Lord? Now look at the scripture. It's on the board. It's on the board. I need you to help me right now. Look at it. I need y'all to help me with this. Find your praise partner. And I need you to bless these words into somebody's spirit. Say, neighbor, God says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not disaster. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Find you a praise partner and say, neighbor, God has a plan with your name on it. Bless in the city. Bless in the fields. Bless going in. Bless coming out. And all these blessings shall follow you and overtake you. We don't have time to shake hands, but just wave at your neighbor and say, neighbor, there are some blessings that are chasing behind you. There are some blessings that are getting ready to chase you down. Say yes. Say yes. Tell the Lord. Tell the Lord yes. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Use me. Somebody help me tell God, yes, I will. Give God your best. Woo. Come on and tell him yes. Come on, Janelle. Come on, T. Tell him yes. Woo. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody has struggled. You've been struggling. You have struggled with yourself. You have struggled with your own desires. But on this day, on this second Sunday in December 2025, God told me to tell you something good. Something is about to happen. Something is about to happen. I need you to go with me. We did this morning at 8 and it was so powerful. It cannot happen unless there's a change in your life. Ooh. Lord, I've struggled with me. I've struggled to say no to my own desires, and I found them taking me to a place I did not want to end up. But today I declare and decree, it's over. Look at somebody and say, it's over. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11, put it up again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, there are plans of good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. But before you can have that future, before you can have that hope, there has to be a change in you. The favor of God, hear this, the favor of God will not reside or rest upon corrupt vessels. Ooh, it can't happen. Ooh, you've got to clean your heart, open your life. I'm hearing God says, I want to come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone that heareth my voice, open the door. I'll come in. God wants to come in. But here it is. Every eye closed. Because this is an exercise of faith. To those of you that are under the sound of my voice, particularly those of you that are in this worship center, to those of you that are joining us virtually on the radio, I need you to do it virtually. But to those of you who are here right now, and you need God to help you say no to things that are not good for you, and yes to the will of God for your life. Haven't always been able to do that, Lord, but I need you to help me do it. I need you to do me a favor and leave your seats right now and walk down those aisles and come stand at this altar. That's right. Come on. To those of you that welcome, God told me to do this change in your life right now. I need you to come right now. Can we just keep it honest? You have struggled with you. You've struggled with your own impulses, your own desires. But today, something is about to change. Tamela Mann writes, change me, O God. Make me more like you. Change me, O God. Wash me through and through. Create in me a clean heart so that I may worship you. I need you to change me, God. Ooh, I need you to change me. The second invitation is for those of you who have been changed and you just want God to strengthen what you already have. Ooh, thank you, Lord. I've changed my life, but it's not easy. I need you to reinforce what you've already done. Come on right now. That's right. Come on right now. Look at the altar. Put the cameras at the altar. Look at the altar right now. Because I want those who are virtually joining us to know that you're not by yourself. You may be in your house alone, but those of us that are here, we're standing with you. Ooh. Those that are in their cars listening to this on the radio, I need you to know right now you're not by yourself. This day, something is about to change in you. And God is going to empower you to say no to everything that is working against your best interest. Come on, Janelle. Come on, team, right now.
Change me, oh God.
Thank you.
Make me more like you.
The altar is the most important part of the service.
Change me, oh God.
Sing, Janelle. Yeah, thank you.
Wash me through.
I can't do it on my own, Lord.
created me a clean heart so that I may worship you.
Say it again, Janelle. Change me.
Change me, oh God.
This is personal, y'all. This is personal right now.
Make me more like you. Change me, oh God. Wash me through and through. Just created me a clean.
Can she say it one more time? This is for every demon in your life that don't want you to change. Change me. Lift those hands and say, change me, Lord. Ooh.
Make me more like you.
Change me, Lord.
Change me, oh God.
Ooh.
Wash me through. Cause I need you to
change me
from the inside out.
Make it personal, you all. Make it personal.
I need you to.
Lord, I can't make it without you. Change me.
Change me.
Wherever you need to change, Lord, I need you to change.
Change me.
So I can be able to walk right. Change me, Lord.
Declare what God has already done.
Come on.
God has already done it. God's doing it, right?
Me.
Come on.
A wonderful change.
Somebody say, I'm so glad. I'm so glad.
I got one more to do, Lord. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Hey, change me, Lord. Oh, change my heart. I need you to change my mind. Change me, Lord.
I'm so glad He changed me.
See, listen, we have been praying the wrong prayers. We have been praying that God change our situation. God changes the things that are problematic for us. God changed the problem people for us. And God said that is the wrong prayer, because some folk won't ever change. There will be problems for the rest of your life. But if God changes you, you can deal with the problems that are in your life. Come on and tell them.
Change. Oh, change.
Tell God to change. Lift those hands all over this place. Listen to this verse again. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. It's not just enough to say no. You've got to live self-controlled and godly lies. Here's what I declare today, that some of you will leave here differently. God is empowering you with everything you need to face the same demons you faced last week. Woo! But you have a different power source. Last week you tried to do it by yourself. This week you're carrying the Holy Spirit with you. God is doing something right now. To those of you that want to thank God for the change in your life, I need you to do me a favor. Some of you at this altar right now, God says, I'm doing it. If you want to take the next step, you want to take the next step in your godly walk with God, meet us at this altar. Because God says, not only will I empower you to say no, live self-controlled lives, but I am going to bless you so that the favor of God is going to be on your life for the rest of your life. But you have to take that step. Hear my Lord right now. Close those eyes. Eternal Father, we thank you. We bless you. Thank you for this self-control series, for these two messages that deals with the power of self-control. Thank you for last week reminding us it's the battle within. Thank you for reminding us this week we are empowered to say no. From this point on, Lord, we will not be influenced by those demons, by those inner desires that takes us down. Whew. There's some Josephs in here that have been empowered to stand up and do what's right. And I'm hearing you say favor follows faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. Somebody is about to have your favor over them, in them, around them for the rest of their lives. We claim it. We declare it. We say it is already done. It is already done in Jesus' name. Somebody say in Jesus' name. And the church said amen. Wave at somebody and say it's already done. It's already. Is there anybody here today that wants to take that next step? Listen, I'll wait right here at the altar with you. Come on. Lord, I'm not perfect at anyone right now. Come on. Calling God right now. God is calling you right now. Somebody's coming right now. Thank you. Look at God. I'm so glad. Anybody else? Thank you.
Thank you for the change. I'm so glad.
Look at God. Change. I'm so glad. Look.
Change.
God is good. Yes. Look at God. Somebody else, come on. I don't know who you are. Next week is not promised to you. Right now, whoever you are right now, make this your moment. Right now. Clap your hands right now. Give God a hand of praise. Thank God.
Has come over me.
Anybody glad for the wonderful change?
Wonderful. Has come
clap those hands, everybody. As you stand to your feet, we're getting ready for the benediction right now. Amen. Amen. And then lastly, I want to say a very special thank you to the South Carolina State Bulldogs for winning the Celebration Bowl, HBCU, national champs. Come on, give it up. Give a praise for the... And I got to throw this in, South Carolina State, please send Benedict a thank you card for sending you a good coach. Please send Benedict some thank yous for sending you a good coach. But can we give it up for South Carolina State coach Channis Berry, who worshiped with us when he was here? Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
You have been listening to the worship service of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off Interstate 77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services right here on the radio. We are also streaming live on our website at bwcar.org, on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you missed any of our services, or if you just want to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for a CD or DVD of today's sermon titled The Power of Self-Control, Empowered to Say No, please call us at 803-776-1238, reference sermon number 121425. Again, that telephone number is 803-776-1238, sermon number 121425. Join us for our watch night service Wednesday, December 31st. Doors open at 9:30 p.m. Service begins at 10. Prior to watch night service, join us for corporate prayer in the sanctuary at 8:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. as we close out the year of spiritual empowerment and usher in a new year with the word from Pastor Daryl Jackson. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by clicking the link on our website at bwcar.org, or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to the number 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please do not mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. We thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.